from Paul on Twitter. So Cooley's birthday is today, and your buddy Scott's birthday was yesterday. Actually, it wasn't, but I'm looking on the internet here, and people were saying happy birthday to Scott yesterday. So the internet isn't always right, because I know yesterday was not his birthday. Weird. The internet's not always right, you know? You know where the internet's always, almost always wrong? Is when you put in, like, you're interested in somebody, you know, some athlete or some celebrity's net worth. Apparently, those things are so far off from being true that I've had many people in that realm that get searched for that say, not even close, but I wish it were true. 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. Turned on the TV this morning. Wimbledon was on. I realized I had made a tee time, a golf commitment Sunday morning during the men's final. And I realized, not for the first time, but just sort of confirmed, man, this used to be can't miss for me. This used to be a sport and an event that I loved that I just don't care that much about anymore. If it's on and I have time, I'll watch it. That match the other day that we were talking about when the show started, I was into that because of the story of the German woman, Laura Siegemund, being 37 years old, playing, you know, sort of a crafty, you know, awkward, odd sort of style that annoys players. I kind of liked that. But other than that, man, I just don't care anymore. Used to love it. Was can't miss. U.S. Open staying up until 1:30, 2 a.m. watching, you know, these men's singles matches go five sets, go to a tiebreaker in the fifth. It was dramatic. It was. And tennis can be dramatic, you know, at the end after five, you know, plus hours. It is a grueling sport. But just don't have the passion for it at all anymore. So I'm asking all of you, what sport or sporting event did you used to love? It was an absolute must watch, can't miss, that now you don't care about or don't have time for anymore. 301-230-0980. Let's start with Scott in Odenton. Scott, go ahead.
Good morning, Kevin. How you doing?
I'm well, Scott.
Good. I heard what you said earlier about, you know, regular season basketball, that sort of thing. I'm the same with that. I used to watch all the, you know, good players in the 90s, including Jordan, Carmelo, and Olajuwon, that sort of thing. I keep track a little bit, but I don't watch the games. But the real reason I'm calling is, like your colleague, I used to love baseball as a kid. I used to watch every single Orioles game on Home Team Sports. I used to watch the Braves games on TBS. I used to like watching Nolan Ryan and all the Braves players and even the Marlins when they were good those couple years back then. But once Ripken retired and Gwynn retired and a couple other guys, I just, you know, just lost interest. And I thought that was going to happen with tennis, too, for me. I'm a huge tennis fan still, but when all those Americans from the, you know, 70s, 80s, 90s, especially Sampras, Agassi, Courier.
Yeah.
Once these guys were retiring, I thought I was going to stop watching. But luckily, we had Federer and Djokovic and Nadal come through, and that kept me engaged with the sport. A real quick question for you. When did you stop watching tennis regularly and Federer and Djokovic and them just not spark your interest?
Yeah, it's a great question because when you said, I think for me, Agassi was the last guy that I was truly invested in, you know, because remember, it was a resurrection of his career, right? You know, he'd gone away, he'd fallen basically out of the rankings. He was playing, you know, that circuit to try to get back onto the main tour briefly. And then he came back and, you know, he won Wimbledon and, you know, I forget what year that was. I want to say it was 99. Wimbledon? When
Wimbledon
did he win
92.
Wimbledon? 92. Well, okay, so when he came back in sort of the mid to late 90s after his fall, was it the French that he ended up winning to give him the career Grand Slam?
Yes. Yeah, so that's what, like, had his, he resurrected his career, and
exactly.
He was basically good. There, you know, up until really the last year he played when he started having injuries.
The back injury. Yeah.
Yeah, let me ask you a quick question. I know you're the host. I'm sorry. I'm just curious.
No, please.
You're more of an Agassi fan than I was.
I was a big Agassi guy.
I was more of a Sampras fan, but
yeah.
Do you think that if Agassi had the mentality that Sampras had throughout his career, do you think guys would still be chasing Agassi? Like Agassi would have 20 or more slams? Because I think that's what would have happened.
I don't know about 20 or more. By the way, I just pulled it up. So when he really made that comeback, he won the 99 French, right, to, mm-hmm. you know, win the career Grand Slam. And then he ended up winning three of the next four majors. He won the U.S. Open that year. He won the Australian Open in 2000. He won the Australian in 2001. But remember, there were some epic, you know, it's Agassi Sampras matches. There was that quarterfinal that year at the U.S. Open that was one of like the highest rated tennis matches ever. That may have been 2000. Who did Hewitt beat right before 9/11? Was that?
It was both matches were 2001. Sampras beat Agassi in the quarters
in that
2001
quarter.
U.S. Open, and then
yeah.
Sampras lost to Hewitt. Basically, it was, you know, Sampras won a semi in 01 in the U.S. Open against Hewitt, got tired, lost to Safin, Murat Safin, if you remember
okay.
him. And then it was swapped the next year where Sampras beat Safin in 01 semi,
yeah.
and then he lost to Hewitt.
Okay.
And then Sampras, all of a sudden, the next year, didn't do much till he beat that U.S. Open, beat Agassi in the final, and then, you know, retired. But what I was going to say is, Federer and them, just watching those guys, they didn't keep your interest.
No, it's a really interesting question, and I thank you for the call. And it's a good call, and it's conjuring up memories. There's no doubt that it started to wane for me after the Agassi Sampras Courier. You know, that era. Now, early in Roger's, you know, run, I was a big Roger fan. I loved Fed. I loved him more than Nadal, and I liked both of them more than I've ever really liked Djokovic. I liked Murray. But I would say that, you know, probably starting in, like, the 2010s is when I really sort of started to check out, and it wasn't nearly the same. You know, I guess I could say the easy answer would be, well, there were no Americans involved. But I don't think that was it, because there were foreign players that I loved. I was a big Becker guy. I loved Wielander. I loved Edberg, you know, going back, you know, to the day. I liked Pat Cash. I loved Pat Cash's game. But I think it was more like a lot of people where tennis started to fall off. Golf was emerging. Tiger's, you know, emergence made golf immediately more popular than tennis. And then the other part of it was there weren't big personalities, you know. Fed was not a huge personality. Agassi, major personality. Becker, you know, the big Dutchman, Krejcik. I used to love watching him play. Big serve and volleyer. He won Wimbledon 1 year. You know, Cash won it. He won it. Cash won at Wimbledon, right? I think,
yeah,
Cash won.
I think 87.
87. Yeah. Like those big serve and volleyers, especially as the serve and volleyers started to fade. Remember Patrick Rafter, Australian. He won a couple of majors as a serve and volleyer. Anyway, yeah, I would say it was the 2010s. Thanks, Scott, for the call.
Thank
really
you.
Appreciate it. The question we're asking is, what sport or sporting event did you used to absolutely love that you just don't care about anymore? For me, it's tennis and the tennis majors. I'll watch it if it's on, like it is right now, where, you know, I'd love Taylor Fritz to beat Alcaraz. He's down a break in the third in a men's semifinal. They're 1-1 in sets in the third set. But, I mean, it's not like I'm going to sit here if it's got another hour and a half or 2 hours to go and stick it through. Let's go to our guy Robert in Annapolis. Robert, go ahead.
Well, same as you, tennis and the NBA, not basketball, but the NBA. But the other one, boxing. The heavyweight.
Yeah. Oh my God! Yes. How did I not mention that? Same. I was a massive boxing fan.
Right. The heavyweights in the 70s, but the lighter weights in the 80s. My God, Leonard, Hearns, Hagler, Duran, Arguello, Aaron Pryor,
Alexis Arguello, and Aaron Pryor. Those fights were incredible. Yeah.
Yeah, I think half those guys wound up with brain damage, but they put on a good fight. And the other thing is the Olympics, both the winter and the summer Olympics. I used to watch both of them when they would occur, and I don't have any interest anymore. And you're right, part of it is age, and part of it, you know, they also were tennis, but they took away all the tennis courts. I played tennis all the time in the 70s, and the places I used to play, there's no tennis courts there anymore. But anyhow, those are mine. All right?
You nailed it with boxing. You nailed it with boxing. I was a huge fight fan. I've talked about this before, but my father was a huge fight fan. He took me to, like, close circuit, you know, fights in the 70s to watch them. Not all the time. Sometimes it was with his friends. But, I mean, Ali was, my father was, you know, Ali, Namath, ABA, AFL, even though we had, you know, Redskins season tickets, and was a massive boxing fan, and I became one too in the 80s, really, you know, forget about the emergence of Tyson. It was all about Roberto Duran, Sugar Ray Leonard, Tommy the Hitman Hearns, Arguello, Pryor, you know, et cetera. That was Hagler, obviously. I mean, I still, every time it pops up on social media, Hagler Hearns is maybe the most incredible and intense, it would be 9 minutes in total, of sporting action of all time. If you've never seen Hagler and Hearns, 3 rounds, 3 minutes a round, 9 minutes, from 1985. Al Michaels was on one call. There are multiple calls of it, but it is the most intense, short boxing match ever. Boxing was great. That's a really good one. I can't believe that I forgot to mention that. The other thing, too, I'll just mention. You know what doesn't interest me as much anymore? And it's part because of the nature of the sport, too. But conference championship weekend during college basketball in March, it's just not a big deal at all. Now, for me, it's personal. The ACC tournament was a big part of my fan DNA. I mean, the ACC tournament was a fixture on the sports calendar for any Maryland fan, any ACC fan. And it was tradition. Like, you know, literally, like, you could not miss and didn't miss any of the games from quarterfinal round on. But, man, the Big Ten tournament, other than watching Maryland and the games they play, and the ACC and the Big East tournament, doesn't do anything for me. I still love the NCAA tournament, even though, you know, you're almost being introduced to many of the teams and many of the players in that moment because it's become such an irrelevant regular season sport. But conference championship weekend used to be must-watch for me, isn't anymore. Let's go to Anthony in D.C. Anthony, go ahead.
So, Kevin, like yourself, even though he was a black hole, I was a big Big E fan. And I used to go to the Cap Center when they used to
Elvin
draw Hayes. Those rubber basketballs. Yeah, Elvin Hayes. That was my man.
Yeah.
So fast forward to the 90s, I think I fell off with the Wizards about the end of the John Wall era. And on a macro level, I don't really care for college football and college basketball anymore. And it's simply because of the player movement. Back in the day, you knew who played for who, and you knew they weren't going anywhere. Now, once I got back from the military in the early 90s, I started losing track of who was playing for who, and then it just accelerated with gasoline in the 2000s.
Yeah.
I have no idea who 90% of the players in college football and basketball are anymore. So right. That's why I've lost interest in that.
I get that. It's interesting, Anthony. I actually was in a text back and forth with a friend of mine who played professional football, now is in business, but still follows everything. And we were talking. He asked me, he said, you know, have you done anything recently on, you know, college sports and the salary cap? We had Andrew Brand on earlier this week or last week, I forget, talking about some of this stuff. And we talk about it all the time. But anyway, long story short, I said what I've said on this show before to him. I said, you know, as much as I thought player movement, you know, unrestricted annual free agency because of NIL and the portal, and now we'll get the salary cap, when the games come on, it doesn't impact me at all. I love college football. I actually prefer Saturdays to Sundays and have for much of my life. College football, look, they're 1 and 1A. It depends on the weekend. It depends on the matchups. It depends on how good my team, you know, is in terms of Washington. But it's funny because I thought that would impact the way I, you know, that it might impact negatively the way I felt about college football. It hasn't. When the games come on, even though the players are in different places and you got to figure it out as you go, oh, that guy's at Tennessee, he's not at Oregon anymore. Oh, that guy's, you know, at Michigan, he's not at LSU anymore. For whatever reason, I still love college football. I love the games. In college basketball, this, you know, past year, a lot of it is driven by Maryland for me, because that is, you know, a number one 1A love along with the Skins. Right. But the tournament is still an incredible watch, even though going in, sometimes you're like, oh man, that guy played for Louisville last year. That guy played for Wisconsin. Now he plays for Louisville. But I don't know, the games are still great. So I get where you're coming from, and a lot of people feel that way. I actually was more impacted negatively on college sports by all of the conference reshuffling. I hate that. I wish we could put it back to, you know, Maryland in the ACC, West Virginia in the Big East, you know, and have all the, you know, traditional rivalries back where they are. But, you know, like our name, our old name here for the football team, that horse left the barn a while ago. Thanks, Anthony.
I'll watch in passing college football and college basketball. But remember back in the day, you knew who a J.C. Watts was. You knew who a David Overstreet was. Now, it's just flip a coin.
Oklahoma wishbone, you know, players for 200, Alex. Thanks, Anthony. I got to get to a break. If you're on hold, stay there. Jeff, Adam, Matt, Ian, we've got a line open. What sport or sporting event did you used to love that you don't care about anymore? For me, number one on the list is tennis and the majors. Wimbledon's going on right now. I got it on. I'm watching. I'm rooting for Taylor Fritz, the American, but I really don't have much passion for it. What about you? 301-230-0980. It's the Kevin Sheehan Show on the Team 980, the team980.com. We're also free and live on the Odyssey app. Don't forget, you can stream the show and watch it live on the Team 980 YouTube channel. When you get there, subscribe and hit the like button.
All right, here's what's happening on this Friday, July 11th. Happy 7-11 to all. It is free Slurpee Day. And now some sports. Wimbledon action going on right now. Men's semifinal. Taylor Fritz is taking on Carlos Alcaraz. Alcaraz currently leads 2-1. Later today, they will take on the winner of Jannik Sinner, going up against legendary Serb Novak Djokovic. And the Home Run Derby participants have been finalized. Ronald Acuna, Byron Buxton, Junior Caminero, O'Neill Cruz, Cal Raleigh, Brent Rooker, DC's James Wood, and last night it was rounded out by New York Yankees Jazz Chisholm. And the Mystics, they get their win last night over the Las Vegas Aces after erasing a 15-point deficit and battling down the stretch. They win 70-68. Wizards Summer League debuts tonight at 9 p.m. They will take on the Phoenix Suns. And the Nats, they wrap up their series in St. Louis. They fall to the Cardinals by a score of 8-1. A rough outing for Michael Soroka as he threw 91 pitches through just 4 innings. The Nats kick off their series against the Brewers tonight. First pitch is at 8:10. Nats on deck with Charlie and Dave at 7:40 on The Fan. This update is sponsored by the Team 980 YouTube page. Just open the app, type in the Team 980, hit subscribe. Kevin Sheehan is live from 10 to 1 and Craig Hoffman from 4 to 7. Don't forget to like the streams and turn on notifications to stay up to date on all things DC sports. And that is what's trending.